Welcome to the Cognac Expert Calendar podcast, hosted by Taylor.
So today I'm very pleased to be speaking with Christophe Chollet from Maison Chollet. Can you describe a little bit who you are and what is your role at Cognac Chollet?
My name is Christophe Chollet. I'm the current owner of Cognac House Chollet. I come from a very big family that's always been in the agricultural industry. I'm the seventh of eight children. I did my studies in commercialization and I joined the company in 1987. I joined my father then at the company and I bought the entire company in 2008. We are a little family-owned business of three people. With me, there's my wife and my son who work on a daily basis with me. And the main focus of our activities in the business is the bottling and the sales of our own products. Our products are cognac, rum, whiskey, and bourbon. And we also have a little niggas business happening of buying and reselling in bulk.
Okay, excellent. And are you in the Grand Champagne?
So in 1952, my father had vineyards, but when he sold the company, apart from the vineyards in 2008 when I bought it, and I didn't buy the part of the commerce. And my brother took over the vineyards, which are just right next to the domain, and we both worked together. He got in total 30 hectares of vineyards. We are in Boutissol-Trojan, that is in the northwest of Cognac, which is the region of Fambourg. On the other side of the Charente, there are the Grand Champagne, and just right next to the little river that separates us, there you find the region of the Bordeauxrie.
Great. And can you talk maybe a little bit about the Maison Chollet brand today?
We have a range that is very huge and wide because we want to offer to a wide range of customers. We start with the VS, which are 2 years old, which contains a little bit of Fin Champagne and Fambourg. Then the BSOP follows with Eau de Vie from 2 to 4 years old. We have a Napoleon of 15 years. We have an XO of around 10 years. We have an XO, which is an extra and has a blend or is a blend of Eau de Vie from 25 to 30 years old. And apart from that, we also have a few bottles of other things that we release out of the ordinary, in particular eau de vie of Grand Champagne, 100% Grand Champagne, and other eau de vie that are around 40, 50 years old.
Of course. And in the past, how could we forget the Résistance bottling of very, very old cognac?
La Résistance, yes, was something I found while strolling around at a neighbor friend, and I think it was close to Solignac. He had two fûts, and I bought them. And the grandpa of whom I bought those said that those are from 1938 and 1945, and that they were since then in the same barrels.
And so for the cognac that is in our calendar, the XO Extra Altesse, can you describe this cognac a little bit?
So the Altesse wasn't actually an idea of myself. It was an idea of two other people, two friends, one being my father and one of his friends. Those were the actors who started and created this one. And they've been creating it over 20 years ago. They created the blend from eau de vie from 40 to 60 years old. And since I took the business in 2008, I sell this product. But unfortunately, since that, with all the different crises, also it's really hard to find the same product of the same quality anywhere for this Grand Champagne Eau de Vie. Today I have about 100 bottles left and it's really hard for me to find the same quality anywhere being available.
Okay, wow. So this is really just a small batch or a blend of that same original batch that you found a long time ago.
Yes, it's the same quality for 30 years now. It's the same one. So when I arrived, my father already sold exactly that one. Even back then, there wasn't big volume of that. Of such a product, we never sell many bottles. Around 300 bottles per year, that's roughly what we do, what we sell for those kind of qualities and references. And we also do not present them to any export industry. We only present them at salons and also, of course, in our own boutique at the Domaine. And unfortunately, now in 2024, so next year, the Altesse is going to disappear because we don't have any more left of it.
Okay, so what we have here is a cognac that's 40 to 50 years old, maybe even a little bit older. And in terms of the distillation, maybe this is a complicated question given how old the cognac is, but was it distilled with the lees or without the lees?
Unfortunately, I can't respond to that because I did not do the assemblage. I did not do the blend. When I arrived, it was already very old and traceability was missing. I now have it in stock, but I don't have the traceability of it.
And the cellar conditions? Was this a humid cellar, a dry cellar, or something in between?
It was very humid, very, very humid. Unfortunately, we're just a small house, and I remember the conditions we had even back then were not quite up to the latest crisis, the latest standards. The barrels, there were drafts, and there was still unconcreted soil, and therefore it was very, very humid.
Okay, great. And given the age of this cognac, even if it's bottled at 40% alcohol, I suppose there was still only a very small reduction with distilled water, correct?
Yes, so there were reductions made to some extent. My father told me about it. There was apparently a lot of oxygen and they did reduce it in small quantities. And of course, these few were not at 40% ABV. They were at 55, 60. So there was a small reduction made in time, during the time, of course, for those 40-year-old eau de vie. But regularly, they put demineralized water in there, assembled it, put it back in the fût. Of course, there was a small reduction made.
This may be slightly more of a global question, but from time to time, we notice that you have these small lots, these special release cognacs. For example, there was La Résistance. There's now this new and old Bombois. Can you maybe describe how you find these little lots or these barrels or small batches of cognac? In other words, like, is it samples that are sent to you? Or instead, is it when you're visiting the vineyards, the vignerons with the distillers themselves, that you find these small lots?
So you have to keep in mind that back then it was way different than today. There was a courtier, but nowadays they leave you behind because they go and offer all eau de vie straight away the big houses. So you have to go and find yourself. You have to kind of fill your address book by yourself. The best is to fill your address book with older people, with grandpas, grandmas, then to visit them regularly to build a relationship with them. And I also do a lot of times their inventory. I taste them from time to time and also give them recommendations. And then when I'm doing the inventory and I taste those eau de vie, I decide for myself, are they good? Are they not as good? And for those that I do like and that are good, I put a cross on it, like we used to do it in the old days. So when I come back and there's my cross on there, I know that I want to propose them something. There are actually two more right now in the Grand Champagne. I'm currently waiting for them. They're in full swing and I know they're very, very beautiful vintages of Grand Champagne cognac from the 70s. So of course I hope about our relationship that they will come back and agree to my proposal so I can pick them up. And a lot of times it also goes through courtiers. I ask them to let me know if they find something, single cars that they do not want to offer the big houses because either they're too small or they don't really are within the frame of what they're looking for. I actually buy a lot of them like this and regularly. And afterwards, when I receive them in my cellar, I work them, I change the barrel, I change the place, and then let them age. And a lot of times I thought to myself, why not just bottling them and bringing them out like this instead of blending them?
Any new projects for 2024 that you would like to or can share with us today?
Yes, so in the same style as this recent Bombois, we call the series Ténère because it's a series that won't last long. We put a butterfly on the paper on the label to represent that it won't last forever. So those are the small lots. So we'll bring out a Farbois with a red butterfly. We are going to bring out a Borderie with a purple butterfly. And also a Farbois in the same style. Maybe a 2002, but I'm not quite certain about that one yet because I'm still working on it. But we do hope that we can bring it out in 2024.
Very good. We see more of these types of bottlings these days, the single cask, small lot, with a slightly higher alcohol level, sometimes cask strength, cognac. What do you think about this little trend that we're seeing today?
It's a fashion effect, but it's very interesting for customers because it pushes them kind of to buy, because otherwise today our usual cognac, the XO, VSOP or something else, something similar, when the bottle is empty, they do not attempt to go back to the producer and say, hey, my bottle is empty, we're missing, to compare it, we're missing our daily butter and bread and go back to the same. Get the same cognac. Therefore, they're not saying to themselves, I'm going back to Christophe to get a bottle of cognac for this weekend because I'm empty. And when there's something new coming out, such as those single casks, the customer might think, oh, it's something new. I don't know it yet. Even though I did have a budget for something else, I might want to try this one and therefore go and buy that one. I see it as an opportunity for us. Whereas the big houses, they do the industrial big quantity cognacs, the VSOP XO, that always are kind of the same, and for them, all that matters is just pushing them out. And for us, coming back to us, it's about the product that is not industrial, even though it's made the same way, but that is different. Yeah, when we go to the export, they often ask us for VS, VSOP to put in the aisles for export. And for example, for China, it's very difficult to penetrate the market with cognac because we do not have a name that is known. So we estimate that we have a cognac house maybe, but we sell brandy also. And for small barrels like that one that we were talking before, I have two customers in Shanghai and Hong Kong, and it was just during my last visit to meet them that I gave them a sample of the 70th anniversary cognac to taste, not really to bottle and to sell it, but just for them. It was actually just to congratulate one of my friends over there. And then once he tasted it, he liked it so much that he called me back and he asked me when I'm going to release it and bottle it. And out of the blue, he said, then he asked me how many bottles I'm going to do. And I said, I only have 360 bottles available for this one. And instantly he asked me to give himself that. He did not want to do any of the design and just asked for anything plain, same box as the other cognacs that I provide. And after he's seen that, he actually asked me for 360 bottles of this Grand Chopin anniversary cognac. And once he's seen that bottle of Bonbois, that friend and customer also asked me if he can add a bottle of that one so that he can taste it and see for next time when they see each other if he wants some more. So there's always going to be customers for Martel, Hennessy, Courvoisier, but there's also always going to be customers that are very interested in the people in the smaller houses and what they do, what they offer, because they're passionate about eau de vie, our cognacs, our rums, and that's what I enjoy drinking.
Yeah, we're very happy to have these anniversary edition bottles and also this brand new Bonbois that you've recently bottled. And of course, this Altesse that we're talking about now, it's really great old Grand Champagne. But it is rare because, as you mentioned, it's going to disappear in a matter of weeks or months, I suppose.
Yes, so I put 35 bottles here in our little boutique. So we have some for Christmas in the Christmas market. Then I put 70 aside to go to my salon and to offer some over there. But then it's going to be gone. There's going to be a product that's going to follow suit. It's going to be called Altesse. Just so people know that it's going to be close to that quality and resemble that one.
I'd like to also maybe creak open the window into the universe of a small cognac producer, a small cognac house. Can you maybe explain all of the different tasks, all of the different activities that you have to do at the end of the year? So just for listeners out there, those of you who are tasting this cognac and listening to all that Christoph has to say, it's really crazy the number of things that a small cognac producer has to handle in the last 2 to 3 months of the year. So please do explain. I think it would be fascinating to hear.
Yes, so for this, people should come and visit us, first of all. But a little explanation. So we have to, we do the whole communication work, either on Facebook or on our website. We go to salons. We actually go there and are there physically. We tell them about our cognacs, about our novelties, and that they can gift them at the end of the year or for Christmas. They can order from us and that we can ship them directly to them. So there's a lot of communication. There's a big communication and customer list that needs to be run through. Then in advance, to be able to offer those customers our products, we need to prepare those products. And cognac is a product where a lot of patience is required. So a lot of forward thinking is also necessary because we don't only prepare 8 days in advance. We're also preparing 6 months in advance, a year in advance, 5 years in advance, to also marry and blend the blends how they should be in the barrel, to later have the blends ready and also the administrative statements ready that we do every month in order to provide the cognac at the time when we need it. Including that, there's also how much water we add, not to mess up anything, that everything is traceable, that we do the inventory, not to forget anything as we should on the administrative side, not to be bothered by customs at one point. And then we have to put everything in the bottle. You have to find the bottle, you have to find a label that pleases, a design that pleases, because that's what we do. We go through a design ourselves. We don't have a design company, and we try to find what's looking great on the market. We find, like to find an idea, a bottle that goes with it, a color that goes with it, and also that label. That's why we need to think a lot of in advance, and it's also a lot of research work. With that comes also making the labels, making the cases, talking to other producers that are helping us to realize our idea that we want to put out. And all that coming back full circle is required for us to be able to provide our customer in time for Christmas that bottle that he wants under the Christmas tree. And sometimes it's also the case that you do, for example, an announcement on Facebook. We just had this case a couple of days ago. And now we are going to ship 15 bottles of our rum to a new client because he was waiting impatiently also. So we almost sold the entire product before putting it in the bottle just by the force of communication, which sometimes is also very hard to foresee what's going to happen with that.
And then let's not forget, there's all the fairs. And I'm not talking about the professional fairs. I'm talking more about the customer focused fairs for tasting and purchasing bottles.
Yes, the salon, we just did two, one after the other, one next to Geneva and the other one in Jean-Berry, which most of the times always happen on weekends. And then, of course, we're not the only ones. There's over 150,000 exhibitors. So there were a lot of people coming past, but that's something that motivates me to continue in those things because people do come back and return. People also do return either on the design or on the label, on the packaging, and especially when we make them taste it, because it's an opportunity for them to taste something that we stand behind our barrels and we satisfyingly tell them how good our product is. And when they taste it and they say it's beautiful and then taste this and this and this aroma, it's just wonderful. And they take a bottle. And that's what motivates us for next year. Despite that, we could also see it as having to prove every single year again begin our new ideas and promote them. And of course, then there's also every time that you're confronted with, you want to be one step ahead of the other one. There's competition. Same goes for Hennessy and Martell. They want to be one step ahead of the other. And it's exactly the same for us small producers in our small market. We also want to find something new, be ahead. Therefore, we can't be sitting in our cellars and not go on those salons. The product is not going to sell itself by itself. Especially with the year coming, even there might be a catastrophic event for cognac. We're going to find ideas. You always have to be creative. I also prefer, even if I do find or have a product that's not the best, to still find something to put it forward or in the mind of people. Might it be with a design or the label? It's still my way of thinking that I want to be better than the Lambda products that you might find in the Isle of Loupière. So we're always constantly looking for new ideas and not stopping, or even thinking, I have an import in Denmark, I have an import in Estonia, I'm waiting for them to sell my products, and I don't need to sell anymore, and I can be lazy and waiting for it to happen. No, I'm not doing this. So we have to prepare all year. We have to create, we have to have new ideas to relaunch, because, you know, when I sell 250 bottles, the little Lou, that's not what's going to allow me to live all year from that. So we have to have several non-stop ideas and just make it run. It's actually very simple. But there's also a lot of administration that needs to be done. Unfortunately, can't really say too much about it because it's very boring and probably not as interesting. But there's a lot of administration and computers that also play a game in here. We have to keep account on everything. I can't really send anything out without tracing it and, registering it. There's a lot of things to keep up with.
Well, Christoph, this has been great. Thank you very much for finding a little bit of time for some of my questions. It's been great to learn more about this Altesse, but also more generally just about Cognac Cholet and all of the things that are going on. So again, thank you. Happy holidays. And I'll look forward to seeing you and speaking with you again.
With pleasure. Happy holidays.
Au revoir.
Thank you for listening to the Cognac Expert Calendar podcast. Tomorrow is another day, another cognac.